You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and coming to you live each Thursday, and hope you're having a good week, and I know it's been awful hot out there. Lord, I always ask the Lord, please cool Florida down a little bit, and it's been very, very hot. Well, good morning, and I do have a nice message for each and every one of you that are listening, but before I share with you what's the Lord put on my heart, I want to thank a couple that is starting to support me, and I can't thank you enough. Mark and Mary, I want to say thank you. You know, in the Word of God, there was 10, I believe, 10 lepers. And one came back. And Jesus said, "Where are the other 9 I healed?" And he just told Jesus, he said, "Thank you." And when he told Jesus, "Thank you," Jesus told him, "Be made whole." And often, you know, I'm not a scholar by no means, but being in Hawaii, I had an opportunity to go to the leper colony. So I had an opportunity to see what leprosy does to the body. You know, you'll have like stubby fingers, half a ear, half of a nose. It just disfigures you. But when that one leper came back, Jesus told him to be made whole. And I believe in my heart that when Jesus told him that, the others were healed that left Jesus. But when he came back to thank Jesus, Jesus said, "Be made whole." He had no scars or disfigurements of his body anymore because he thanked Jesus. And so there is something in being grateful. Have a grateful heart to thank people. Be kind to one another. And I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you, Mark and Mary, for your support, believing in me on 91.5. I'm not here to try to make a name, to be noticed. We don't need that. The only name that needs to be known is Jesus, not mine, but just Jesus. So Mark and Mary, thank you. And if anyone would love to support me, I'd need your help because I can't do this journey alone. I'm not here to beg. I thought I'd offer once a month people opportunities to be a part of my little ministry that I have. Holidays, I like to deliver food. There's a homeless shelter here. There's another place that houses men that I dearly love, and I take men. I have taken men there to get them off of drugs. They're homeless. So if you want to continue to support my ministry, you can do so. It's Tom Jones Ministries. It's my address is P.O. Box 412168, Melbourne, Florida 32941. Again, it's P.O. Box 412168, Melbourne, Florida 32941. I also want to say thank you for at least considering praying. Pray if you don't want to support me, which is fine. Be in prayer for me because being on the radio, doing ministry work is as pastors and missionaries know, it's you can't do this alone. It's not a one-man show. It takes all of us coming together to fulfill God's plan while we're here on this earth. And I believe we're all called. I really sincerely mean that. And so again, I want to say thank you for those that listen to me. I hope I don't put you to sleep. I often worry about that. Sometimes that's why I like people to call in and share their heart, and I'll give you an opportunity coming up this month to call in and share your heart, a testimony of what God's done for you. Or if you need prayer, I'd be honored and humbled to pray for you. And also, if any of you pastors are listening and would like me to come to your church, I'd love to. I love ministering to the body of Christ, sharing my heart, and encouraging your people to be all that they can be in these last days. So if you want to contact me, you're more than welcome. Tom Jones Ministries. You can call me 321-698-9519. And I'd love to speak. I love encouraging God's people to be all that they can be in these last days. Well, my message today is I feel is really important. And I always ask the Lord, what am I supposed to share to the body of Christ? And something happened to a lady in America. It was in Cincinnati. I believe her name was Holly. And she was beaten up by many, many people. I saw a video, and it really ministered to me. And I said, "Lord, why are people just sitting around watching her get kicked and kicked in the face?" And I said, this is America. And no one rendered aid to this woman. And they kept beating her and kicking her. And I don't know the whole story. Even if she had said something, you know, this is no cause to hurt someone, you know. But many, many bystanders, they just watched, and I think they cheered on, you know, watching this happen, and no one jumped in. Even the police wouldn't jump in. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know, what's going on that we couldn't render aid to a woman that's beaten, that was so badly beaten and rushed to the hospital?
you know, saints of God, this is something I don't understand. I don't understand all this. Why we have such anger in America? Why everyone today is angry? You know, if someone says something, well, I'm mad at them. You know, if someone cuts you off, well, that makes my day. No, it shouldn't. Just let them pass you and cut you off and just, you know, hold your breath and, you know, take a deep breath, relax. You know, we are, you know, Dr. Jeremiah wrote a book, How to Live in This Upside Down World. And, you know, I'm trying and I know you're trying, but it can be difficult at times, you know, but we should not mistreat people. We should not verbally attack people. We should, I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, I'm not getting into politics here. We should not be picking on anyone. If you have anything to say that's not good, don't say it at all. Take those people, and if you have a disagreement with them, you take it to the Lord. You pray for them. You pray for our country. And because we're in a mess. You know, for a lady to be somewhere and for a crowd and people to be picking on her, kicking her, and caused her head trauma, her eyes are black, and to kick her in the stomach, that's literally, literally uncalled for. And really, it disturbed me. And that's my message today. And you can find it in Luke. Let's go to the Word of God. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And I pray this ministers to you. It ministers to me every time I read this. We'll start with, believe, verse 25. It said, on the occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now remember, if we look at this, this was a man. The man that approached Jesus was a lawyer, a student of the Mosaic law, also called a scribe. He did not ask his question sincerely, but intended to trap or test Jesus. The religious scholars of that time loved to discuss the urgent social problems of the day without ever wanting to solve them. To this lawyer, love was merely a concept to study. And let's keep moving on. I'm reading out of two Bibles, and he answered, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is our neighbor? We're going to find out who our neighbor is. You have answered correctly, and this is Jesus saying this. Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Jesus replied, and this is Jesus again, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. This is the Lord who wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? That's a good question. Who is my neighbor? And, you know, I'll say this. The Lord had sufficient knowledge of the Word of God. Asked Jesus the question, but he did not know how to apply this truth. The question, who is my neighbor, gave him away. Gave him away. So really, he wasn't really sincere in asking Jesus these questions. He wasn't sincere. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, a man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho. This guy was a Jew. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. This was a priest. And he looked at the man, the Jewish man, didn't want to get involved. So he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, so to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged him his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next the next day, he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have." Which one of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to this man who fell in the hands of the robbers? Which one do you think? I wish I could open the phone lines up and you all could tell me, who was the neighbor here? Now, this was the guy traveling down that road was a Jew. And if you look at this, the story, the distance, they were up about, it was 17 miles long. They were up about 3,600 feet, and the road was named the Road of Blood. If a man was dead, if this man was dead and the priest touched the body, he would be ceremonial unclean for 7 days, rendering him unfit for temple duties. Levites, let's look at the Levites, led to religious worship and maintained their temple grounds. Both men demonstrated that religious works does not make someone true servant of God. You can have head knowledge, and that's what these gentlemen had. They had head knowledge. They can run to church, you know. You can run to church if you want. You know, you can see someone, and like the priest and the Levite, 2 religious people, look at something, and they didn't want to be bothered. They didn't want to touch anything because they were headed to, I guess, a religious meeting. And here comes a Samaritan. Now, if you look at the story, you'll find out that Samaritan knew that was a beat-up Jew. And that Samaritan knew that Jews did not like Samaritans. But he still rendered aid. He rendered aid. Who is my neighbor? Is it the person living next door to me? Yes, that's your neighbor too. But your neighbor also can be anyone when you go out into the streets, grocery store, at church, or even a restaurant. I think you've heard me share this story before. You know, one time I went in to get an iced tea from Chick-fil-A, and I just sat there, and I heard a man crying, and he kept crying, and he kept crying. He was at the counter, and I didn't know what was going on, and I'm not sharing this story to brag, but, you know, he kept crying and crying, and then I saw the girl leave, and I guess she got the manager, and the manager came over, and I said, I got to go find out what's going on up there. I went up there and asked the manager, I said, well, is everything okay? And she says, no. She said, we don't give free food. I said, well, of course you don't. Now, if that were my restaurant, I would have given him something to eat. But they have policies and, you know, whatever. You know, I think that's what's killed America, the corporate greed, I guess. You know, everyone just, it's a me, myself, and I. You know, I think sometimes we have a new trinity here. And instead of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, it's me, myself, and I. So I went up there, and she said, we don't give free food. And she said, this man hasn't eaten for days. And I said, well, get him anything he wants. And she just looked at me. I said, please, whatever this gentleman wants, please serve him. And there, that restaurant was full. And many people saw that man crying. And I'm not tooting a horn here. And then I took that gentleman aside. I gave him a little money. And I told him about the seed emissions. If he needed, he was homeless, I could take him there, and they would house him, feed, give him a couple meals a day. And I thank the staff at Seed Emissions and the work that they do. They share the gospel with the men that come there. But who is our neighbor? That gentleman that was at Chick-fil-A, that was my neighbor. You know, I could have just said, no, I'm not getting involved. Sometimes when you get involved in a person's life, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you sometimes your time. Sometimes it's going to cost you some money, and it's going to cause you to maybe make a sacrifice for that individual. But that's things I think we in America, we become callous. We become, my wife used a word, and I can't remember. We become so calloused and insensitive to the things around us, all because we want more things. I'm not against things. I'm not preaching against things here. You know, God wants us to have things, a nice home, a car, and I get that. You know, I get all that. But we've got to remember that what's really important is people. And this is a parable. And so we just have to remember that who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is anyone that we see that has a need that we can meet. We can't save the whole world. But when you see someone as we look at this parable of the Jew walking down the bloody road, I call it, was 17 miles long, and there comes robbers and stripped him and left him for half dead. You know, I see that going on in America. That lady that was beaten up in Cincinnati, and the crowd looked. We're not to look. We're to get involved. Oh, well, I can go to jail. Well, okay, you know, get involved and help people. You know, if you have the ability, do something. Just don't stand there. And in America, all we're doing is we're wanting for more things and more stuff, and we become greedy and stingy. And we've got to change, you all. We have to change. You know, even the church, you know, wake us up. And that's the program here is called Wake Up, that even I wake up as well, that we can hear the cry of the poor, that we can hear somebody that needs a lunch, that we can, you know, get someone lunch. Or if you know someone needs help, that you have that ability to help them. And you don't turn a blind eye like the priest and the Levite. You do something about it. You know, you get in there and you make a difference. We're not called here to get everything we can, and, you know, and we're called to make an impact in this community, in this state, and in this world. So I thank God for those of you that are willing to stand up, those of you that do hear the heartbeat of Jesus, which beats people, because that's what's important. When you look at one another, you have to look at through the eyes of Jesus. They're important. Everyone's God's people. Doesn't matter what, you know, what color their skin is. They're God's people, you know. And when I went to Haiti, and there's an orphan home down there. It's through Love a Child. And when I went there, I didn't see poverty, although poverty was all around me. And the orphan home, the kids were well taken care of. The girls lived upstairs on the second floor. The boys lived downstairs. And, you know, I saw destiny with those people. I saw one girl, Christila, and she would go tuck all the kids in at night, go to the second floor, tuck those kids in, go downstairs and tell the boys, you know, tuck them in, say your prayers. I kind of feel like she's going to be our next Mother Teresa. But one of the main things I want you to understand, that we are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. So when you see someone of different color, he's made in God's image, or she's made in God's image. If you go to a foreign country, they're made in God's image, you know, and he's no respecter of people. But in that parable that I shared with you, that Jew that was beat up, that was the Samaritan that rendered aid to a Jew, and he knew that Jews did not like Samaritans, but he still rendered aid. I challenge you. Are you rendering aid to where aid needs to be rendered to? Are we just storing everything up and eat, drink, and be merry? You know, are we making an impact in our society, our community, even in our very neighborhoods? Are we making an impact? I believe Jesus wants to wake all of us up, including myself, to wake us up, that we don't pass anyone by, that if anyone needs help, that we render. And it doesn't have to necessarily be money. You know, you can give someone a word of encouragement. You know, people are just, you know, there's, they need a word of encouragement. In Hebrews 3:13, it tells us we are to encourage one another daily. It's every single day. I look for opportunities to do that. Not tooting a horn to any of you, but I love to encourage God's people. I love to encourage them, because the days we live in, they're wicked. They're dark. They're dark. And you know, I don't look at the darkness. I want to look to Jesus and do what he tells me to do. But people need a word of encouragement, because that's so important that we minister and stir people up, because people want to give up. The days we're living in, they see no hope. Jesus offers hope. He said, "Peace I give unto thee, not as the world gives, but I give unto thee." John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life." Do you have that life? Do you have that abundant life by opening your heart and saying, "Lord, I'm just a sinner. You know, I'm just a sinner." Well, if you don't know Jesus today, and if you're driving, you know, don't bow, don't close your eyes, but just say, "Lord, I repent of my sins. I don't know you, but come into my heart. Come into my heart." And you know what? Just ask Jesus, "Lord, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I want to come to know you and have you be my Lord and Savior." And if you've said that, you're a Christian. And then I want you to find a church to go to. I want you to get a Bible and start reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Get a church that will encourage you, stir you up. And you need to learn the Word of God so that you can, that you know, you can be religious. You know, I see a lot of that. People, you know, have all the head knowledge. You got to take what you read from that Bible from the head and take it and put it into the heart, which I believe is 17 inches from that head to the heart. And when you move that word from that head to that heart, it will get you to do the things that Jesus has called all of us to do. It will. You know, don't keep it in the head. You'll say, well, you should be doing this, brother. You should be doing this. You need to be doing this. No, you know what? Encourage that, brother. You know, take the word that's in the head and put it in the heart, and that'll explode and cause you to do the things that Jesus wants you to do, to be his hands, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, and his feet, to walk the places he's calling you to walk to. And I'm stirring you up today because you're called. You're called to do something at such a time as this, not to be quiet, not to be silent, but make a difference. And you're called not to be known either. You know, try to make a name. There's only one name that needs to be known, and that's Jesus's name. You know, Lord, fire us up. You know, fire all of us up, Lord, that we can just be drawn near to you. As your word says, I will draw nearer to you. But you have to be willing to draw near to him. If you have a best friend and you don't have anything to do with him, how are you going to get to know him if you don't spend time with him? Same way with Jesus. If you don't spend time with him, how are you going to get to know him? You know, and just like I've been encouraging you, have every morning when you wake up, spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time reading the Word and spend some time in prayer. Lord, you know, if you've had a bad day, take it to Jesus and just take it to him. Lay it at his feet, you know. The word says, the scriptures tell us, the battle's not yours. The battle belongs to Jesus. You let that go, and you put it in his hands. No matter what report you've got, you can take that bad report that you've been given, doctor's report, whatever report, someone's offended you, you take that and you leave it at the cross, because perfect peace, the word says, whose mind is stayed on Jesus. Not the circumstances, but on Jesus. So I'm encouraging you today, if you see a need, if you see somebody needing help, if you see someone, I had a client that had pneumonia, and I've been in touch with her. If you need anything, I'm not bragging, but there's things we can do. A phone call, cheer someone up, pat someone on the back of church, you know, give someone a hug, you know, do the things that Jesus would be doing if he were here. He wouldn't be hiding. He'd be out there, and he wouldn't be saying, well, I'm not going to minister to that crowd. You know, they're a different color. Color should mean nothing to you. Should be nothing to you. They're all God's people. They're all God's people. They're made in the image of God. Love them. And I tell you what, Jesus will take you to a higher level, a new level. And I tell you what, you need to be walking where Jesus wants you to walk. Hear the things that he wants you to hear and be a part of many ministries to come. And let's wake up. I'm encouraging each and every one of us to wake up. Well, my message is just about over, and I hope you've enjoyed the story about the priest, the parable of the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Don't forget the lawyer, because he knew the Word of God, but he had the head knowledge. He didn't have the heart knowledge. Had he had the heart knowledge, he'd have jumped in and helped that Jew. So let us love one another, you know? Love one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Stir one another up. And stay focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus, as he says. Perfect peace, who's his, whose mind is stayed on him. Till next week, may God really bless you. May God bless you. And remember, stay awake. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.